This is Julie at Dogcast Radio. If you like dogs, wherever you are in the world, we're the show for you. Hello, and welcome to episode 7 of Dogcast Radio. Do your training sessions ever feel like a battle? Pam Dennison has the solution.
It's not humans versus aliens. This is not War of the Worlds here. This is a dog.
What do the Brits like to dress their dogs in?
From a bumblebee outfit to ladybird outfits, Santa Claus.
And Jane Hayes from dogloss.co.uk has a very high-profile case.
It's actually a puppy of one of Princess Anne's dogs that's been stolen.
Before all that, we hear from my favourite Black Labrador. Buddy's Diary.
Hello, Buddy the Black Labrador here. Last time I told you about the few things that I dislike. Water pistols, odd people who won't be made friends with, and my archenemy, vacuum. As I said, my life is pretty good. I get regular meals, and the odd treat, when they forget what the vet said about Labradors running to fat, like an apple core, the last bit of biscuit, a bit of buttery toast crust. I really like them. What was I saying? Oh yeah, plenty of exercise, a comfy bed of my own, and my people love me. They stroke me, cuddle me, tickle my tummy, scratch the bit just behind my ear. Oh, that feels good. Hey, never mind, pretty good. My life is wonderful. But then I'm a water bowl half full kind of guy. With the exception of Vacuum, who I really like to give a good growling to, I don't have anything to grumble about. Plus, it never takes me long after Vacuum has laid waste to the place, leaving not a hair on the floor, to shed some more and get the house looking and smelling cosy again. That is not to say I don't suffer from stress, because my people can be stressful beings, and of course they pass it on to me. They don't mean to, obviously, but it happens like this. We'll be in the middle of a really nice fuss, and they'll be telling me how handsome I look, and what a lovely soft dog I am, which I am, I have to admit. And then a worried look will crease their brows into a pretty close impression of a Shar Pei, and conversation will turn away from me. The subject matter can vary here from, "Oh, buddy, things are so busy at work," to, "Oh, buddy, how can I lose 10 pounds and fit back into my little black dress?" Or even, "Oh, buddy, I have a huge zit coming right on the end of my nose." Now, while I don't mind about or usually understand the content of these worries, it does concern me greatly when my people are upset. Their tone of voice, expression, body language and smell all become sad. Telling me seems to help them, but I am left worrying about them. And I don't have a dog to tell my worries to. I do have a couple of other methods to deal with it then. Firstly, stones. Stones provide marvellous stress relief. You see, being a nice guy, I could never be nasty to any living thing, even the cat next door who won't play nicely. But stones don't have feelings, so I can really harass them. I go out into the garden and search around for the perfect victim, and then the game is on. I pick it up, hurtle around the garden for a bit, then, without warning, I screech to a halt and drop the stone. I take up a stance over the stone, where I am ready, muscles tensed, should it try to make a bid for escape. It doesn't. I nudge it with my nose, and leap about barking and growling, till I grab it up and race round the garden, spraying soil and small plants behind me. Then I drop the stone and take up my guarding stance, before galloping off with it again. The cycle can be repeated as necessary. It's great. You try it next time you feel stressed and see what I mean. Sometimes I can't get to the garden, or a suitable stone can't be found, and then Plan B comes into operation. The stone method is best for young, athletic dogs, but this one suits a variety of ages and fitness levels. Basically, I reach around towards my tail, and at the same time, trot around in a circle. This curves my spine, allowing the vertebrae to ease apart and realign, thus relieving any stress tightness. If I need a lot of stress relief, I can actually grasp my tail with my teeth, and then run fast in circles, giving my spine a fantastic stretch until all my stress is gone. Or until I get dizzy and stagger off, usually colliding with someone's legs. Or one of those irritating ornaments that my people insist on messing our house up with. Alternatively, if I just have a small worry to deal with, I can do a half-hearted snap towards my tail, very gently, and then carry on with what I was doing. I don't think it would work for humans. You poor things only have two legs. Plus you're lacking in the tail department. But trust me, the tail chase is blissful stress relief. I wonder if I could get hold of my tail while I have a stone in my mouth, thus combining both methods. That could be fun. I'll have to try it. Till next time.
How many dogs does it take to change a light bulb?
A German shepherd would say, "I'm not afraid of the dark."
You're listening to Dogcast Radio on www.dogcastradio.com. Pam Dennison is the author of An Idiot's Guide to Positive Dog Training. We started with what exactly positive dog training is.
Positive training is, if I were to put it in one sentence, it's looking for what your dog is doing right and reinforcing what you want and ignoring what you don't want. And if you can't ignore, because sometimes the dogs are annoying, redirecting into more appropriate and then reinforceable behaviors.
So would that be sort of, you don't use the word no?
Right. Well, no isn't a verb.
Right.
You know, no is not an action word. What do you want the dog to do instead? So if the dog is jumping and you use sit, that gives the dog more direction, okay?
Yep.
And it clearly tells them what you would rather have them do. I also, I tell my students, too, that, you know, that I teach them how to be more manipulative in a good way than their dog is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, because dogs are very manipulative. And, you know, that's not necessarily bad. It just means that we have to be better at it than they are.
Yep, which is going some, really.
Right. Yes, because they're smarter than we are, and it's also getting out of the us versus them mindset. Because it's not us versus them. We're supposed to be a team. And if half of the team doesn't understand what we want, how can we possibly get mad at them? You know, I mean, they don't speak English and they never will. And it's really not fair to the other half of our team to expect that they do speak English and that they know what they want, they know what we want, without any kind of training.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So what will be the repercussions with punishment?
Okay. You'll have a dog that shuts down and does nothing because they're afraid to try now, because anytime they've tried, they've gotten punished for it. And so now they're afraid to try. You're going to get a dog that may work, but they're not happy about it. And at the first opportunity, they're going to run away. Okay? So it's very, very important. I mean, again, this is teamwork here. It's not, you know, it's not humans versus aliens.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, this is not War of the Worlds here. This is a dog. You're going to get a dog that might become very fearful of, you know, maybe you've got a little puppy and maybe they were a little scared about something, and instead of understanding that they're afraid and working with that, you punish them for giving a reaction that maybe you don't like. So now the dog is going to hate that thing, whether it's a person, another dog, a kid. So you're going to develop an aggressive or fearful dog.
Yes. Yeah. Now, the other thing that intrigued me is, you know, the two-way communication. Obviously, I want to convey what I want to instruct the dog to do. Mm-hmm. So how can I use learning his, you know, what he's trying to convey to me?
Okay, I'll give you a perfect example.
Okay.
I had a student this morning that came to me for the first time with her human aggressive dog.
Mm-hmm.
And We took a nice long walk in the field next to my building, and I stayed, the first time, I stayed about 75 feet away, and we walked parallel to each other around this 100-acre field, and every now and then I would glance at the dog, and I would watch his body language, and if he was starting to get a little nervous about me, and, you know, if he gave me quick glances and he was licking his lips or doing a little yawning or a little whining, I backed off a little bit, okay? So he was communicating to me that he was a little bit nervous about me, okay? So what I did was is then I moved further away. And then he was then remained very calm. He became very calm. His body language relaxed. He wasn't as stiff and stilted. And then he became so relaxed, he actually started rolling around in the grass, which most dogs, if they're scared, they won't do that. And then we put him away for about 5 or 10 minutes. And then the next time we brought him out, I was within probably 15 feet of him because he was that much more relaxed. He's like, okay, got it. You're not stupid. You're not going to approach me. You're not going to try to pet me. I don't need to warn you off. I will put up with you. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, yeah.
So that's the kind of thing, you know, and I just, you know, picked an aggression example just because that's what I happen to be working with today.
Yeah. Now, the other thing, now, I have read this other places, but I kind of have, it's one of those things I'm quite nervous about doing, you know, varying the reward.
Yeah.
You know, where you say, you know, basically, how does varying the reward improve results?
Okay, because you're not a soda machine, you're not a candy machine, you know, you put a dollar in and you get a package of candy, okay, and you know that that's what you know, you put your money in and that's exactly what you're going to get. Well, then you leave the machine because that's all you know you're going to get. So if you vary the rewards, it's more interesting for the dog, okay?
Yeah,
because they never know what they're going to get next. So you build this very intense focus, and once you have that intense focus, then you can train anything, okay?
Yep.
Because if you give the same old thing all the time, you become really boring.
Yeah.
And then at the slightest whiff of, you know, a deer or a bear, the dog is gone.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're more interesting than the environment, okay, then you won't be able to lose your dog.
Okay. Yep. Great.
And I've seen that with many, many, many times, with my students and even with my own dogs. If I become lazy and boring, well, guess what? My dog's performance is less than stellar. If I become very unpredictable and do bizarre things, I can't lose my dogs. It makes the training process more fun and interesting for them. And it makes it more fun and interesting for the handler as well.
Okay, I shall try that. I shall try being bizarre.
Yep.
And see where it gets
me. And believe me, you can get pretty bizarre. I mean, I get pretty bizarre. You know, you can pluck grass and fling it up in the air going, whew. They love that. Well, most dogs love it. Some dogs look at you like you're insane. Like, why are you doing that? And other dogs think that is just way cool. And I have noticed with my own dogs, my dog Bo in particular, one of my border collies, I was being very lazy and always a cookie, always a cookie, always a cookie, always a cookie, same old, same old, same old thing. And I would take him into competition and he would fail. Mm. He would fail miserably. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So then I sat back and I thought, okay, what am I doing wrong? What's going on here? So I started to be more variable and unpredictable and use lots of different kinds of reinforcers, lots of different kinds of play, teasing him, running around, letting him go swimming. He loves to swim. Doing all sorts of really bizarre things with him, and then started competing with him again, and now he's getting top scores. And is very, very, very competitive now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I changed from being boring to being interesting.
Mm.
And it kind of gets the owner into the process of having more fun. You know, how much fun is it to dole out a cookie versus how much fun is it to, you know, maybe give 10 cookies and then run around silly, and then chase after your dog, and then pet him, and then tell him to go sniff.
Mm.
You know, I mean, this is like fun stuff.
Or, yeah.
You know, throw sticks or leaves in, up in the air, or snow, or grass, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or tease with a toy, or just make funny sounds.
Yeah.
Like I go, ha, to my dog, and they're like, ooh, ooh, ooh. I mean, they love that.
Yeah. I would love to come for a walk with you.
Yeah. Oh, I do funny things.
Yeah.
We do lots of funny things.
Oh, brilliant.
And that's why I can walk my dogs off on the, I walk my dogs on the trail off leash.
Mm.
Because they have, we have such a good relationship and, lots of training, obviously, and instant recalls, and we have lots of fun.
Mm.
So they never leave me.
There you are, licensed to be bizarre in the interest of dog training. So if you do encounter an individual exhibiting such behavior, they may well be a professional dog trainer. There's a link on our website to Pam's marvelous book. And we'll be hearing more from Pam soon when she tells us her views about children and dogs.
How many dogs does it take to change a light bulb?
A golden retriever would say, "The sun is shining, it's a lovely day, and you're worrying about a light bulb." Now, for our younger listeners, it's puppy playtime. Hello, if you're like me and get bored on long car journeys, I've got some ideas of games you can play. You can go through the alphabet from A to Z trying to think of dog breeds. Some letters are impossible to find breeds for, but most of them are possible, even if you have to think really hard. You can play this game on your own or take turns with others. Another game we play is to think of a dog breed and then suggest suitable names for that breed for every letter of the alphabet. The game is fun because you can reflect the nature or size of the dog in the name. If you're travelling over the holidays, you could make the journey more interesting by seeing who is the first 10 dogs. You'll each choose a breed and see who is the first to spot 5 dogs of their breed. You could prepare a list or make a set of lotto cards and see who's the first to spot all their items. The items could include such things as an assistance dog, dogs of various colours or breeds, or make it harder by trying to spot different dog behaviours like tail wagging or barking. If you come up with some games of your own, send them in and I can share them with everyone. Happy travelling! Check our website, because soon there will be games on there too. During winter, sometimes the weather can prevent us getting out and about with our dogs as much as we would like to. Also, sometimes adults can be busy with other things, but you can keep your dog happy and occupied in the house. One game Buddy likes is hide and seek. I tell him to sit and stay out of our lounge. I show him and let him smell a toy. Then, without him seeing, I hide that toy in the lounge. When I am ready, I tell him to find it, and he sniffs about until he finds the toy. When he finds the toy, either we play with it or I give him a treat. Then I hide it for him again. You can start this game off easily for your dog by initially letting him see where you hide the toy and give him lots of praise when he finds it. Once he has the idea, you can put him out of the room so he has to work harder to find the toy. It's great fun to watch your dog letting his nose guide him and really exercising his brain. And a busy dog is a happy dog, so remember to have fun with your dog and make sure your dog has fun with you.
How many dogs does it take to change a light bulb?
A great Dane would say, "Don't bother fetching the step ladders."
You're listening to Dogcast Radio on www.dogcastradio.com. Jane Hayes from dogloss.co.uk has had another busy and successful month reuniting owners with their dogs. She told me about her work and a high-profile case she's been dealing with.
Well, the last month has been exceptionally busy with missing and stolen dogs. And not only that, we have a Channel 4 camera crew following us around for a Fly and Roar documentary that should be going out in early March. I think they've really had their eyes open to what is going on around here. They are absolutely stunned by the lack of police help. In fact, the absolute, in most cases, not wanting to know attitude of the police. We've also had quite a few high-profile cases in, and luckily for the documentary, we've got quite a few dogs back, so they can see how the whole operation works. And also, it's exposing the fact that this really is happening. It's not made up dog thieves. Now, the one case we've had in this week that's very interesting is actually a puppy of one of Princess Anne's dogs has been stolen.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah. Unfortunately, it's too young to be microchipped.
Oh.
It's only 15 weeks. But, luckily, this week we had a visit by a new company called DNA Tag, which is about DNA profiling your dogs. So they very kindly offered to do a DNA profile on the mother so we can prove, if we get a sighting of the puppy, that it is actually their puppy. And it's amazing, actually, the system they're doing. He's actually a professor from Cambridge University and obviously dog mad.
Mm.
And what they're doing is they're just selling the kits at £50, which is quite a reasonable one-off, and people will DNA profile their dog, send the sample off, and they have a special department now at Cambridge that can do a DNA profile in 2 days. Because the way they've done it is they're giving free kits out to all the vets and all the rescue centres.
Hmm.
And if a dog comes in, they're allowed to swab it, send it off, and they won't be charged at all.
Excellent.
So it's a bit of a risk, but it's a great system, I think, because if everyone invests £50, they're going to give the kits out free.
Mm.
So that could be a good way of getting a lot of these missing and stolen dogs back.
Mm.
And more importantly, the dogs company kindly offered to do a DNA profile on. As soon as those people have rung the police and said it's DNA profiled, because you can do it from a hair that's left in the bed, they've been given crime numbers for once.
Mm.
So that's a breakthrough. I think when I mentioned DNA to police, they realised, oh, that's it, solid proof. And they're starting to issue crime numbers, which they weren't issuing on microchip dogs. Oh, another thing that I noticed as well when he did it, he put a tag on my dog with a unique number on.
Hmm.
So the extra service is, as well as this, it just says on the collar that it's DNA tested and the details. So if your dog is genuinely missing and someone does that, they can ring up the DNA people without having to do the test and just give the number, and the DNA people can ring you and reunite you with your dog.
Oh, right. That sounds brilliant, yeah. So you said you've had some success stories this month.
Oh, yes. I mean, how many have we had? Probably about 100.
Oh, brilliant.
But one of the... Actually, just last night, an amazing coincidence... Well, not a coincidence, that's why we set the website up. But now we're getting more and more helpers on board.
Mm.
We get more and more dogs back. It's directly related. For every 5 people that join our site as a helper, we're getting a dog back. Only last night, a lady rang, which actually rang me on Friday, and her Deutscher in Bedford. So we got the details on site. Luckily, she had a good picture waiting, so we got the details on site within 5 minutes. And then last night, another helper went on the website because she'd found a dog and saw the picture and just left a message for the owner. Oh, I've been looking after your dog for the last 4 days.
Mm.
It's definitely your dog, found in the same road, you know, picked it up in traffic. And she'd informed the local police station.
Mm.
Well, the owner had been in touch with the police station straight away and on a daily basis. So when she did phone the police up to say, well, look, why didn't you let me know? I've had 4 days of worry. They admitted they did have a dog logged in the same hour, but it was a greyhound cross. And hers was actually a Lurcher. Well, come on.
That's like Alsatian GSD, isn't it?
Mistakes can be made, but... Mm. I mean, a lot of people don't know their dogs. Anyone who knows their dogs, a greyhound cross, they immediately think Lurcher.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
And again, this is why we're having to photograph down, you know, say a description, not just the type of dog, because people don't always know their dog.
No.
I mean, I was a complete novice when I started this site up, because I only knew the dogs that I had. In fact, the first call that came through was from West Highland White's owner, and I asked what colour it was. So, you know, there is ignorance out there. I'm a bit better now, though.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
And have you any leads on the Princess Anne's puppy case?
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. I've actually been out. This one's been followed by Channel 4, obviously, because they selected a few cases. So we went out filming the day before yesterday with the owner putting posters up. We believe there's a notorious family from that area who come from the Cheltenham area. So we went to Cheltenham and posted around all there and spread the word amongst pubs and things like that, that there is a large reward that usually works.
Yeah.
However, today we've also had another possible sighting of the puppy by one of our helpers, because we've spread the word all over the country to all English Bull Terrier owners and things. And she said a puppy's just appeared in her village, which is about 30 miles away. So we're monitoring that at the moment. The owner's down there putting posters up. She's met a few people that have seen this puppy. I mean, it could be another puppy, but this puppy is very distinguished in colour. It's all white, and it's a bitch, and it's got two black ears. Mm. It's quite distinctive for a bull terrier. Unfortunately, the people that have seen the dog cannot remember if it's got black ears or not. I mean, it might be a wild goose chase, but we've got to check everyone. But this shows the desperation and the levels that the owners will go to.
Just
to put their mind at rest, it's not their dog. It could well be, it might not be. But I think it's only a matter of time now, because we've emailed all our local helpers around there in the surrounding villages, and they're keeping a lookout. So sooner or later we'll find this man, and we can either eliminate his dog or reunite it.
Yeah. Does it amount to a charge of treason, do you think, to steal Princess Anne's puppy?
Now that's an interesting answer. We should actually, although it was her dog's puppy, she'd given it to a friend.
Oh right, yeah.
So whether by we could try it.
Well, I think it, you know, I think we could argue that. We get Trevor Cooper onto that, and he could argue that.
Unfortunately, Trevor Cooper's given up dog law.
Well, he said he might be tempted back for the right
case. Good. We'll give him a high-profile case then, and we'll tempt him back in. We need a lawyer concentrating on dogs.
If you've got his contact details, send this case to Trevor Cooper.
I do have his contact.
Well, get in touch. So, yeah, put forward the... I think he'd like that, to argue treason for that. First beheading in the Tower for years, yes.
Oh, that would be good. We haven't managed to get one conviction for dog theft since Victorian times. Let's behead them.
Absolutely. Let's make an example of the first one we get, yes. The DNA testing kits that we mentioned there are available via Jane's website, www.dogloss.co.uk, that you can find a link to on our site. And it is worth buying through Dogloss, because DogTag, the company making the kits, will donate a proportion to Dogloss, which will help with the site's essential work. Trevor Cooper, for anyone that doesn't know, is well known in the UK as an expert in dog law, and amongst other work, he rescued dogs from death row. I've heard him speak, and he is a very witty and amusing man. He isn't currently practising dog law, but a case like this might just tempt him back. We can only hope. We'll keep you informed.
How many dogs does it take to change a light bulb? A chihuahua would say, I can do it, but I'll just need a Great Dane to stand on.
Until recently, within the UK, if you wanted outfits for your dog, you were limited in choice. Now the UK has its own exciting website run by husband and wife Richard and Pav. We spoke to a representative from the site about the range of dog fashion available.
From a bumblebee outfit to ladybird outfits, Santa Claus coats, which go from a chihuahua to a German shepherd size, knitted jumpers, pants, the collars with the bandanas. There's raincoats, there's the furry jackets that look like sort of snow. Mm. You know, you can get those snuggly pyjamas in that. They're really like, snuggly for cute dogs. The T-shirts, obviously the football T-shirts and rugby that can actually be in the team colours, like Arsenal or Chelsea or whatever, and they can have whatever player they want printed on the back if they want that. And they come in any size. Of course, the bridal gown, the tuxedos, bridesmaid dresses, there's a ball gown for a very special party, Halloween outfit. Started about 3 years ago, and it was just somebody who was just mad about dogs, just loves dogs, and just, you know, think of unusual sort of clothes, something that's different because, you know, there was other companies around, but just doing the sort of standard T-shirts. And Pavla's husband just thought they would basically design different things that are more unusual and anyone in the world can buy online. Sales aren't just to the UK, they're to, we've just had one from New Zealand. People buy from everywhere, so they're quite unusual garments.
And how did you come up with the dog MC UK?
Oh, it's a fan of FC UK, French Connection.
I was reading on the website, Pav has two dogs of her own. Are they the models on the website, some of them?
Yeah, they are her dogs, yeah. Mm.
Was that the inspiration that in the beginning she wanted to find things for her dogs?
Yeah, of course, because they love dogs and basically they wanted to put them on the website and dress them up and, you know, everyone be looking and thinking how lovely their dogs are and the ideas sort of came from that, really, and all sorts of little outfits, and not just for their size dogs, but, you know, from, as I say, a Chihuahua to a Great Dane. Not just, you know, like, little cute doggies that you sort of walk around carrying that can wear it. You know, it also looks cute on a big bulldog or any size dog.
Yeah.
You know, if you love your dog and want to buy something for it, should be available for any breed of dog.
Made to measure or off the peg? If your dog fancies a fancy dress party this festive season, check out www.dogmcuk.com.
How many dogs does it take to change a light bulb?
A border collie would say, just one, and I'll repair the faulty wiring while I'm at it.
Coming up on our next episode, episode 8, which will be our Christmas episode, we have a fantastic interview with Dan Dye from the Three Dog Bakery. As a special festive treat, we have the recipe from the Three Dog Bakery cookbook for Santa Paws Holiday Cake. So if you fancy giving your dog a Christmas treat, have a go at that recipe. The ethos of the Three Dog Bakery is all about what you should be feeding to your dog. We give you some information about what you should not be feeding to your dog. Now, this is not a mother-in-law joke, but my mother-in-law was at the hairdresser's, and the barber suddenly said to the man who was sitting next to her having his hair cut, "Oh, your hazard warning lights are flashing, you better go and see what's wrong with your car." And the man said, "No, that'll be my dog." And apparently the dog, when he's had enough sitting in the car waiting for the man, he switches the hazard warning lights on. And I just thought that was so clever of the dog to perhaps have caught the hazard warning light switch by accident and learned that the man rushes out to see what's wrong with him. And he does it again and again now. He'll wait for so long, and when he's fed up, he switches the hazard warning lights on. And I thought that was very intelligent and cute. So if you've got a story about what your dog does to catch your attention, do let us know. Till next time, look after yourself and your dogs. Thanks for listening to Dogcast Radio, available from www.dogcastradio.com. That's dogcastradio.com. If you'd like to get in touch with us, and wherever you are in the world, we'd love to hear from you. You can do so in a variety of ways. By phone from the UK, you can contact us on 0121-288-0922. From the US, you can contact us on our American number, which is 315-849-2022. From any other country, you'll need your international exit code and then 44121-288-0922. You can contact us on Skype with the ident Dogcast Radio. That's all one word, Dogcast Radio. By email, you can contact me on julie@dogcastradio.com. When contacting us by email, if you have the facilities, please record your questions or comments and send them to us as an audio file. That way we can include them directly in our programme. We can accept most formats, for example, WAV, MP3. All these methods of contacting us can be found on our website, which is www.dogcastradio.com. And as ever, the final word goes to Jenny.
How do you stop your dog from barking in the back of the car? Put him on the front seat.